It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And for many years now, we've known something is changing with regard to the mental health of young people in our country. Back in February, the CDC released new data that found nearly 3 in 5 teenage girls felt persistently sad or hopeless in 2021. Double the rate of boys, a significant increase over the past and the highest level in the past decade. And for those who are around young people, like Superintendent Alicia Geddes of Danville School District 118, you don't need statistics to see what's happening. Here she is speaking at an Illinois public media panel discussion last year.
And my children, particularly as a result of the pandemic, my babies are suffering with social emotional issues. And I need to address that first. I have to make them well before I can educate them. Until I get them into a space where they can hear me, I can never teach them. You know what I mean? So I need psychs, I need social workers, and they are not there.
Joining us to talk more about this is Dr. Tanya Battle, a licensed clinical psychologist specializing in children and adolescents. Dr. Battle has a private practice in Joliet, and she teaches at a number of institutions, City Colleges of Chicago, Trinity Christian University in Payless Heights, and the online Walden University. Dr. Battle is now working as a program partner with Walgreens. The project is called Walgreens Expressions Challenge. And the group tries to help young people with their mental health and navigating these sometimes difficult times in which we're living. Dr. Battle, thank you for joining us today on the 21st Show.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
And I should note for listeners, as we proceed, our conversation may touch on some of these difficult subjects of depression and suicide. So if you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, please reach out for help. The number nationwide is 988. That's 988. All right, Dr. Battle, you specialize in adolescents and teens. What are some of the biggest issues you're seeing now?
Current day, I think that some of the bigger issues are mental health issues that are stemming primarily from being isolative. I don't think that teens and children rebounded very well coming out of the pandemic and the shutdown. So a lot of teens, or I should say youth, are struggling with re-engaging with peers, figuring out how to socialize in a way that's comfortable for them, and also struggling with finding themselves, because many teens have been struggling with basically an identity crisis. And I don't want to blame it all on the pandemic, but it's just the sign of the times and everything that they have going on within their inner circle and in the world at large.
And I'm sure that's true. I've definitely heard that from other people. Even before the pandemic, though, there was this significant increase in young people who say they, you know, had these persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the changes you've seen as you've done this work over the years?
Sure. Over the last five to 10 years, there has been a significant increase in youth coming in for services. I want to say that part of it has been a push to destigmatize getting help with mental health. So I think part of it is that. So the increase would be because we're working towards getting rid of the stigma completely. But then I also—
I'm sorry to interrupt you. So what you're saying there is it's not, maybe not entirely an increase in incidents. It's just an increase in recognition or people seeking help.
Right. I think a portion of it is. I definitely think that the pendulum has kind of swung in the area of youth really struggling socially. And there are a lot of reasons that come into play with that. It could be a shift in parenting styles, a newer type of parenting style that kind of emerged over the last 10 years, which I believe the word that I just finally heard attached to it was more of passive parenting. And that's kind of a parenting style where there are not so many boundaries that are placed upon youth, but that it's more of a walking beside them in a journey of self-discovery for them to kind of guide and chart their own path. I certainly think that there are some positives and some negatives to that, but I know that that has been one of the things, one of the changes that I have seen over the years. The other thing is just a change in the way that youth are socializing. Now that technology is such an integral part of their everyday lives versus what the lives of a teen looked like 20 years ago, I think that that too has had an impact, again, both positive and not, and some negative impacts. But I think all of these changes collectively have kind of brought us to kind of where we are today.
I'm fascinated. I mean, and I've also heard about, you know, the rise of social media and smartphones and people constantly, what's the phrase, fear of missing out, I don't know exactly how old you are. I'm a young Gen X person myself. And sure, you always felt like you were missing out on maybe the best parties and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now you definitely know it minute by minute on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, if your friends or people who you wish were your friends are doing something much cooler than you are.
Right, right. And there's also that aspect of not being able to turn it off, of always having to be connected. So that mental downtime that I know I certainly had in my youth, and I'm old, I'm older, we'll just say, I'm over 50, but the mental downtime that I know I had, you know, if I didn't want to talk with a friend or engage, or if my parents were like, no, now is family time, you know, sit down at the table, we're not even answering the good old fashioned landline. That actually provided a way for me and my youth to like step away and just kind of regroup and reconnect with my nuclear family. Now, that looks a lot different because of social media, because most parents and children, we are all guilty of having our phones attached to us 24/7. So I think that that is a big change and has had a big impact on the youth and how they socialize. I was telling my grandchildren, I'm always observing, but I took them to the pumpkin patch a couple of weeks ago and they were not focused, and they range in age from 15 all the way down to 5. Everyone had their phones out at some point in time and just seeing what their friends were doing. And so that's just, I mean, my encouragement was like, of course, put it away. But that is just evidence of kind of where we're at today and how they socialize. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. All right, we're going to take a break. We will have more with Dr. Tanya Battle when we return. She's a licensed clinical psychologist with a practice in Joliet, also teaches at a number of institutions and focuses in her work on children and adolescents. We're talking about the significant rise we've seen in mental health problems among young people, really since the pandemic, but even before that, in the last decade or so. We tape this conversation ahead of time, so we're not taking calls live, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the rise in mental health problems among young people, teenagers in particular. We're talking about this with Dr. Tanya Battle, who's a licensed clinical psychologist. She has a private practice in Joliet, also teaches at City Colleges of Chicago, Trinity Christian University in Palos Heights, and Walden University. She also is working on a program with Walgreens. We'll talk about that a little later. We tape this conversation ahead of time, so we're not taking calls live, but you can always let us know what you thought by texting us. And you can join our texting group by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. That's TALK to 217-803-0730. We did reach out to our texting group about this topic, and we heard from a number of you. Sarah in Rockford said, "My nephew is a high schooler. He's been committed for depression and suicide attempts. It's horrible to see, and it sometimes feels like falling in a helpless spiral. I think we need to gain our sense of community and togetherness so no one feels alone and has that net to fall back on. I think we need volunteering for community groups to promote togetherness and actual staffing of therapist offices so they can provide mental support." I should mention, we are talking about some of these difficult subjects. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, you can reach out for help. The number is 988. That's 988. So, Dr. Battle, we just heard a text message there from one of our listeners talking about a young person in her life. What are some of the signs that parents or other adults in the lives, particularly of teenagers, should be watching out for?
Some of the signs that parents and caregivers can be on the lookout for are increased in like anxiety type of behavior, like fear-based behavior, where a change in behavior overall. So if a student or a youth enjoys going to school or has been able to navigate going into school effortlessly, but then all of a sudden is struggling with school refusal, that's a definite sign that something is going on. Watching mood in terms of, with youth, that can be a little tricky because you have some that enjoy their sleep and will come home and crash for a minute. And then you have some that don't sleep enough. So watching mood and also watching sleep patterns, watching eating patterns, those are all ways that long before many youth articulate that they are struggling, that caregivers and parents can be on the lookout for. So overall, just a change in behaviors.
What should a parent or a caregiver do if they do see those signs of trouble?
Have a conversation. I think that is the number one thing. The number one intervention is to have a very black and white conversation. So what I mean by that is, are you going through something? Are you struggling? Are you having issues with peers? Are you thinking about hurting yourself? Have you been hurting yourself? That's something that a lot of my clients have told me, is that long before they ever let anyone in or let anyone know that they were struggling, that they had started self-injuring. So paying attention to those and asking those questions just straight out. Have you ever thought about hurting yourself? Have you ever thought about killing yourself? Have you experienced any losses in your life, like a loss of a friend? How are your friends doing? All of these are questions that can go to the heart of what a youth might be struggling with, but definitely a very upfront black and white conversation.
And it's important to get the young person to, I don't know, or to, maybe you can talk about that. How do you get the young person to acknowledge? Maybe the caregiver sees something, they feel like there's something going on, but the young person just doesn't want to open up to, you know, old person in their life.
You know, that's a good question. And, you know, it, when you're dealing with youth, the tricky part is that it is completely developmentally appropriate for there to be that little bit of a pullback, as they're getting older and they're trying to find themselves, what tends to happen developmentally is that the peer in their social circle become more prominent in their lives versus their nuclear family. So that's where I think it's also very important for parents and caregivers to now more than ever really understand, well, who are your kids hanging out with? Who are their friends? And are their friends online friends? Are their friends in school friends? And what does that dynamic look like? Because in situations like this, where you're having to have the upfront conversation, having the knowledge of who they're hanging out with and who their social circles are is going to actually help the parent or caregiver, because then you can actually reach out to maybe the parent of that student or that friend, if you will, and just say, hey, you know, just can you check on my kid? I'm noticing some things. Has your son or daughter mentioned anything about this? You can also utilize the school as a resource, having the social worker alerting them that, hey, you know, I've noticed some things about my child at home. They haven't really endorsed anything, but can you do a well check in school? Would that be okay? So this is where too much of what your caller had indicated, that sense of community is so important. And parents a lot of times feel very isolated, like when they notice these things, they don't know where to turn. But they have to understand, what they should know is that the pediatrician is part of that community. The teacher at school, your kid's favorite teacher at school, is now part of that community. So there are any number of areas where you can actually tap in with the shared goal of making sure your child is okay.
Once you decide that maybe somebody does need help, the young person in your life does need help, And I imagine there's a million different answers depending on whether you have private insurance or Medicaid or no insurance, and, you know, where you live, in a rural area, an urban area. Is it a sort of a mental health desert, so to speak? What is the next step?
The next step would be letting them know that you love and support them, and that it is your, not only your job, but your pleasure to make sure that you do whatever it takes to make sure that they're okay. And then start introducing the idea of professional help. Hey, I want to get you someone that you can talk to. And then begin explaining what that might look like, because it's very off-putting for both parents, but particularly youth, to now be told that, well, I'm going to take you to a stranger to just unload what you won't unload at home. But you can ease them into it by letting them know that you're keeping them safe and you're taking them to a place that would be a safe environment. It's the beginning of the confidentiality/consenting process that everyone goes through when they're seeking out mental health or actual medical services. So it's like having a age-appropriate conversation about what the dynamics are in terms of getting services, counseling, and the like.
It's the 21st show. We're talking with Dr. Tanya Battle, licensed clinical psychologist with a practice in Joliet, Illinois, about the rise, particularly in mental health problems among teenagers and young people. One of the reasons we sort of got put onto this topic recently is one of our producers was reading about programs in Chicago from the group Youth Guidance. One is called WOW, Working on Womanhood. The other is BAM, Becoming a Man. Can you talk about just the differences, you know, upsides, downsides to a group approach versus one-on-one counseling?
Sure. There are lots of upsides to the group scenario. First of all, is that youth do very, very well when they are having shared experiences, when they can walk in and sit in a room or an area or online with people that are like them, their age, having shared experiences, they're in high school or whatever, so they have that commonality. So that's where the group experience really is very helpful, because what happens is the more relaxed and connected that the youth feels, the more quickly the walls that they tend to build come down. And so that's when that connection and developing that rapport among the peers really actually helps to facilitate the healing process, if you will.
Maybe this is a good segue then into talking about your work with Walgreens and the program there. What can you tell us about that?
Oh, it's an amazing, amazing program. So Walgreens Expressions is a nationwide contest where youth can actually submit either a fine artwork or performing art piece of art that represents either their personal mental health journey or their perception of mental health journey. And they can submit it, and it's judged nationwide, and they can earn cash prizes, essentially. So it is a great mechanism, because one of the primary interventions that I use in working with youth is art therapy, as well as I do a lot of writing. If that is their thing, then I encourage them to do poetry. I encourage them to utilize music if that's their thing. So that whole aspect of leaning into some element of art form as a way to express is very, very therapeutic, because oftentimes youth lack the not necessarily the verbal skills, but the vocabulary to express exactly what it is that they're feeling. So by pairing the art or the expression piece with the mental health piece, it just provides a platform for them to be able to kind of get their words out without sometimes using words.
Fascinating. Well, we are almost out of our time together. I also wanted to ask you, we noticed you have a book coming out this spring called People Pleasing Pickle. I happen to love pickles. What's that about?
I love pickles as well. And I was sitting in session with a youth, and we were talking about developing self-esteem and kind of what all of that looks like. And we were doing a little art therapy, and I drew a pickle. I don't even know why I drew a pickle, but I drew a pickle with a funny face. And then the youth looked at it and they said, "Wow, it's like this. That's what it is, Dr. Battle. It's like I'm in a people-pleasing pickle." And I said, "Oh my God, that's the book. That's the book. Thank you for your help on that one." So it's all about that's how it came to be. So it was just kind of haphazard, but it really is about one's journey through development. And it's not just for children, it's even as adults that we have found ourselves where we are spiraling in our lives. And when we get to the root of why, it's because we have placed all these expectations on ourselves to please others. And we have negated our own selves or our own development or our own reflection or introspection. So, yep.
Hope we can have you back when it's coming out. Dr. Tanya Battle is a licensed clinical psychologist with a practice in Joliet. She specializes in children and adolescents. Dr. Battle, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for our program today. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Steve Mork and Jason Croft. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.